drains out to the street.
Okay, if we're ready, I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is the November 14th, 2018 meeting of the Integrated Waste Management Authority. At this time, I'll ask Mr. Gomez to lead us in the flag salute.
Please stand for the table. Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Jim. If you would do the roll call, please.
Debbie Arnold.
I'm here.
Sheila Blake. Tim Brown.
Yes.
Lynn Compton.
I'm here.
Robert Davis.
Here.
Robert Enns.
Here.
Bruce Gibson. Aaron Gomez.
Here.
John Hammond.
Here.
Adam Hill.
Here.
Tom O'Malley. John Pashong, Jeff Lee, and Charles Borbo.
Here.
Thank you, Jen. I'll now open the meeting to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. There are speaker slips over here on the side if anyone wishes to comment on other items on the agenda. Seeing no one come forward for public comment, I'll close public comment. And we will first need to go to a closed session. Jeff, will you announce the items?
Certainly. Would you please take public comment on closed session first? Thank you.
Okay. I'll open the floor to public comment on the closed session items, performance evaluation of the manager, and to assign our legal contract.
Good afternoon, Chair Ennis. I'm Stuart Jenkins. I just have a brief comment on closed session item number two, the assigned legal contract. My recollection is that contract was not assignable, for starters. And in addition, I want to protect my friend, Mr. Minery, here, and your board. The appearance of propriety or the appearance of impropriety is extremely important in public affairs. Mr. Minery comes from an office where the former counsel who advised this board since its inception came from. The connections that are going to be apparent to the public are inescapable. It will be better for Mr. Minery. It will be better for this board if you start fresh, even in the interim. You could bring in the county council. You could bring in a fresh interim appointee, make a new contract. Obviously, the old contract is void since the prior attorney has left you and retired. And you should start afresh. So that's my two cents on item number two. With all of the problems you've had that were not caught or mitigated by prior counsel from the same building, the same office spaces, don't make the mistake of looking like you're just going on like you used to. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else comment on closed session items? Mary?
Good afternoon, board members. Very pleased to be here, although I don't know some of you. It's nice to see the faces I do. My name is Mary Whittlesey. I'm a resident here in San Luis Obispo County. I have some solid waste management experience, including 20 years as the solid waste coordinator for the County of San Luis Obispo, recently retired 2.5 and counting years ago. I highly recommend that, by the way. I was here at the creation of the IWMA and at the investiture of your board and the hiring of Bill Worrell. I've been present for what has transpired through your board in the way of policies and programs. And I say through your board because you're the folks in charge. And in setting the direction, addressing citizen concerns, business concerns, guiding the implementation of programs. Each meeting, each board member has had the opportunity and has frequently taken the opportunity to weigh in on board items, to clarify and to fine-tune the proposals and the agendas that have been brought to them. I'm pleased and proud to be part of the solid waste and be part of the implementation of the solid waste system that we have here in our county. And we're all citizens and beneficiaries of those programs and the system currently in place. Implemented with your board leadership have been various take-back programs, including paint, batteries, fluorescent tubes, fluorescent bulbs, medicines, the 20-year school education program in high school as well as in elementary schools. 20 years we've been in the schools doing that, very successfully, I feel. The used oil collection program, the Sharps collection program, and very importantly, the household hazardous waste program. And to touch on the household hazardous waste, generally household hazardous waste is a very small percentage of the waste stream, 1, maybe 2% of the waste stream. The disposal here in our county is free to residents. We're trying to keep it out of the landfills. This is toxic material, and your board is striving to keep those toxics contained and out of the landfill. Yet the collection, the transportation, the disposal, the handling of it all is expensive, very expensive. It is a large part of any solid waste system's budget. So how the heck do we do that? How do we pay for all of that expense when no one is paying at the gate when they bring in those materials? Well, the magic word is grants, grant monies. Bill Worrell has been a champion, a leader in procuring grants for many of our programs. And for me, it is very disappointing to read in the reports that the investigator cast around somewhat mindlessly looking for goblins where there are none. It seems he doesn't know anything about trash and how it can be managed. The items in the IWMA budgets could be a starting point but not an ending point if you're going to try and discover any malfeasance. In my opinion, he did not complete his homework, and the reports and recommendations are weak and refutable. The reports themselves, again, demonstrate that the background of the investigator is not in solid waste. It's very good that he's a numbers person, far better for him than me. But it shows he doesn't really know what happens in solid waste management, especially in California. Within 10 minutes, I was able to investigate the IWMA grant history, and I found 38 entries totaling almost $5 million that has come to this county to support the programs. These monies have made programs such as the used oil collection and the household hazardous waste program possible. Because of these programs, we have facilities all over our county that accept drop-off for free by the citizens. Oil collection is free to
Mr. Chair,
garbage companies.
She's gone 3 minutes. I would request that we move on.
Can I ask for indulgence? I have two paragraphs.
If you could sum up, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I will certainly appreciate it. The $5 million that we have received is monitored by CalRecycle. It's easy to talk to them. Strict rules and documentation requirements from them. I'll leave you with the following to say thank you for your board, thank you to your board for serving and for your input and ideas, especially now as well as past board members. It is with diligence and engagement that the SLO IWMA is a leader in the state and has had outstanding success in managing our waste and achieving great success in reducing the waste that we send to the landfill. Much of the success, your success, has been due to the integrity, knowledge, and forethought, in my opinion, that Bill Worrell has brought to this agency, and he will be sorely missed. Thank you for your time and your indulgence today.
Thank you, Mary. Next, anyone else wish to speak on closed session items? Please go ahead.
Wayne Hall from Creston. Please accept my deepest appreciation for what your board has done in supporting efforts to expose IWMA mismanagement and problems that we've seen in the past. Clearly, there are not enough among you. I'm sorry. Anyway, I want to say thanks very much for what you've done and for indulging this group of citizens that's come forward to try and bring light to what has been a problem for many years in the IWMA. There are two major players in how the IWMA ended up where it is today. It was your manager and it was your legal counsel. Your legal counsel was your safeguard that you had in place to protect you from the mismanagement that you saw that has been brought to the surface. Your legal counsel should have been waving a red flag long time ago, 20 years ago, maybe that long ago, with regards to how expenditures and budgets and finances and contracts were being done. Yet you still want to do business with the firm that your legal counsel was associated with. Is that my concern is, is the firm there to protect their interests in this associate of theirs who may have his fingerprints all over what appears to be a fraud in the IWMA? If you continue with this firm, my fear is that they are in a position to continue to protect. And I'm recalling how things went with the retirement business that you handled the last time, Mr. Worrell's retirement, and how the legal counsel was a stand-in for Mr. Baring. And I recall how they revealed their legal research for you on how to handle his retirement. The legal research was, I talked to a guy at the labor board. That doesn't qualify as legal research for me. And their legal theory for you to continue to pay him was that a contract supersedes state law. I've never heard that legal theory before, but they told you it's in his contract, so you have to do it. This makes me suspicious of the skills of your legal counsel, who you're considering and bringing in. And I believe there are all kinds of biases that comes with this legal counsel, including connections they have with Wagstaff, who was a lawyer in the civil case that you're so familiar with that involved Tinborg. My fear and concerns are that if you continue with this law firm, that you're bringing the fox into the hen house. And I wholeheartedly recommend you to consider other legal counsel. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Wayne. Anyone else? If not, then Jeff, if you'll read the items.
Well, may I make a comment, Vice President Enns, in regards to particularly Mr. Stu Jenkins' comments. I did note this. It does say a signed legal contract. He's correct that Ray Baring's contract did say it was not assignable. This is the correct government code section for appointment of legal counsel or public employment. But based on the way this is worded, I think it's clear what it is. But based on Mr. Jenkins' comments and in interest of transparency on this matter, I would suggest your board consider taking this item off closed session and put it on the next next regular scheduled meeting or special meeting so that it can be identified more correctly. I don't want your board to be in any position of scrutiny on non-transparency issues right now. So my suggestion would be your board consider taking this closed session item and moving it to the next meeting.
All right, thank you. What's the pleasure of the board?
I would agree with that.
I think that's fine. I think we should take the advice of counsel and we should move this to the next meeting.
Will you make that a motion?
I will make that a motion, sir.
Second.
Can I comment first?
Under comment, are we okay to take action on this in open session?
You're okay to take this off calendar.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Could I make a comment or ask?
Charles,
perhaps ask a question. No, I'm curious though whether it would make sense to discuss the issue as to whether or not to assign or to pursue some other, you know, avenue of counsel, because here we are, we don't meet very often, and Mr. Minery is sitting here right now acting as counsel. So what does that mean in the meantime as our interim manager needs to bring issues to counsel? Do we have a counsel or do we not have a counsel? And if we postpone this issue, then essentially it seems to me we don't really have counsel, or we have a de facto counsel. And so I feel like it would make sense, whether it's an open or closed session, to at least discuss the issue as to whether or not the board should defer and discuss the assignment at the next meeting, or discuss going out to bid or what have you to obtain other counsel, or do it in closed session if that's the appropriate place.
Yes, and I agree with Mr. Barbeau. I think that in closed session that we could just discuss the options. I don't think that hurts anything, does it, Jeff? That what it's saying on our closed session on our agenda is a signed legal contract, but if we discuss that, we can come out of closed session with anything we want to.
Right. I hesitate to go into closed session on this because Ray's contract is technically not assignable.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's not properly agendized.
Well, it's properly agendized in that it's citing their correct government code section. Ideally, it would say, even if it just said legal contract, but it's the word assignment that troubles me. And I should have caught that in advance. I just did not. So what your board could do is determine to have a special meeting on this. And
can we discuss options in open session here?
It's not agendized as an open session item, so no.
Can't we just open it and continue it, not take any action after we discuss?
We have a motion and a second on the floor.
Yeah, discussion.
We're under discussion now. I just want to know what our options are, and it sounds like I'm not quite understanding this either. If it's not properly agendized for us to go into closed session and discuss the options that Mr. Barbeau is talking about,
yeah,
that's what I'm after, just be able to have this discussion.
And I would not.
You would not. Okay.
Any other discussion?
I was just going to say that, in my opinion, I think we should certainly be able to talk about it because it is agendized. If we don't take any action and continue it for another closed session afterwards, I think, again, it's moving the ball forward on this instead of just sitting on it. And, again, the same way, we don't often meet enough to do it quickly.
John, I'd appreciate your comments, but I'd have the following question of staff, and that is, if the next meeting is, what, in January?
That's correct.
January 9th. How much legal work are you going to need between now and January, given that you're going to need board approval for any contracts or anything like that?
It would be hard to say. It would be, if I had a question, I would have to have someone to go to. And if it were a situation, now, what I could do is I could reach out to the CAO, maybe get county council support on an interim basis.
It seems like you've done that as a practice since you've gotten here. You reached out to different avenues for, you know, determining where to go in terms of the board. So I'm just trying to figure out, is there a conflict between you asking this attorney questions if it's not assignable, so he can't be the attorney anyway? I mean, and maybe that's a question
for
you.
Ray Baring has resigned. He doesn't have a contract anymore.
So there is no contract.
So there is no contract. What this really, and I think that you have to keep in mind, there's certain practical things that happened here when Ray Baring had to leave town and deal with his personal family issues. And so I did assist during that time to help Gate with President Lee.
And I appreciate your help.
There is, if you'd like to handle this sooner, if you could entertain a special meeting, maybe that would be the way to get it done quicker than January.
Again, I guess my question, I apologize, and maybe I'm a little dense. I can't figure out whether we can go until January or not. Can we or not?
It's I don't mean to be vague or indirect,
no,
sir, but what concerns me is I don't know. If something comes up in between the period of time and I need legal counsel, I would feel very uncomfortable making a decision.
So,
but I can't really articulate what it is. I don't see a lot of contracts coming up. I don't see a lot of work. So to answer your question, we might be able to do that, and we could probably take that risk. And if it was a particular issue, then I would figure out from an administrative perspective how to go about it.
Could we schedule a special meeting if something came up?
Point of order.
Absolutely.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. There's a motion on the floor. He's not speaking to the motion. I'd like to talk to the motion. Unless the motion's withdrawn, there's a motion on the floor. He should speak to the motion.
I still have a question under discussion, though, because the motion wasn't clear to me. We made a motion, but our options haven't been clear. So that's, I think, what we're trying to clear up. If we vote that motion and we have nothing, I think these are valid questions. Can we do that? Can we get to the next meeting without discussing this at all and having no counsel whatsoever? So I think it's important that we finish this.
Well, how about we ask Mr. Giancola whether he has gotten good and reasonable legal advice from Mr. Minery in the time that he has taken over the agency? That might be a relevant question, since to my knowledge, he is the person who has been running the agency.
It's my understanding that, Mr. Minery, I think what you're telling us is there is no contract, so until January, you wouldn't...
I had a question for Mr. Giancola.
It's affirmative. I have worked very well with Jeff, and I feel so far that the questions I've asked, that he's answered them in a way that I feel comfortable and that it meets the standards that I think you would see from a legal attorney.
So you don't have any problems continuing to work with him until the next meeting?
No.
Thank you.
And quite honestly, I don't either. I was just worried about the fact that you raised the issue that we should continue it, which raised my question. I have no problem with any of the legal advice you've given this board, and I might even entertain having you go forward because you're a different person than Ray, and you look at things differently. That's not my point. My point was, based on your own concerns that you raised, that maybe we shouldn't be dealing with it at this point, and that's what I want to deal with.
My concern is that I'm extremely sensitive right now to transparency with this agency, and if there is even a slight concern that this is agendized in an unclear manner, we should not go to closed session and discuss it, because this agency does not need that type of heat right now.
I have one more question. So, Jeff, I get that part, that you said, so I'm ready to postpone it, but can you provide legal counsel? That's what I'm not understanding. And if we wait till January,
I will continue to advise Mr. Giancola if he comes to. If anything major comes up, we will come. But we'll suggest a special meeting.
I think that's a great interim step. And in fact, if I were on the board later on, based on what I've seen of you before, I'd probably vote to have you continue. But I appreciate your honesty and straightforwardness and your willingness to continue to work with us. That's a huge issue for us right now. So, again, I don't see that there's a problem with continuing it to be on the safe side if you're continuing to be willing to give advice that he is, you know, comfortable with. So, thank you.
Charles?
I guess my question is for Mr. Giancola regarding the motion. If Mr. Minery is to continue to provide counsel until we can meet and discuss the issue again, then we de facto have a sign or extended the thing. And I don't have any issue regarding doing that, but I want to make sure you're comfortable that, you know, we put this item on the agenda for a purpose and, you know, unfortunately, perhaps not accurately worded. But are you comfortable with, I guess you're comfortable going to Mr. Minery, but are you comfortable with the fact that we're using a counsel that we haven't extended or assigned the contract to? And I guess I still don't understand why we can't go into a session, at least discuss what it is we would like to do relative to this issue. And I apologize that I'm new and, you know, perhaps I'm not in tune with some of the, you know, political issues here, et cetera, but I'm just trying to figure out how you move forward with having a de facto counsel for the next couple months until we can meet again, without actually doing something here to make that formal.
based on those issues, my suggestion would be that your board consider having a special meeting on this issue, and sooner than later.
So the question becomes, are we going to listen to our own legal counsel at this point?
Under discussion, I have one more something to say, is if we have a special meeting or however we go about this, it's either going to be in January or it's going to be sooner. I'm wondering, instead of just assigning, I agree with Mr. Bourbeau, I think in any situation that we should be at least discussing the possibility of going out for an RFP or something, not just making the decision, a rubber stamp decision. So this is worded like it's that. You take it or you leave it without the discussion of what else. Does anyone else have an idea of what they want to do, or open discussion, complete discussion? I'd just like to see it agendized a little differently.
Vice President Enns, if I may respond, I would suggest that bringing this back as assignment of an interim. That's what I would have suggested in closed session anyway, so that you have those options. I understand public comment on this issue and the concerns, but I do think that with this current situation, with your interim general manager, having some consistency is probably beneficial. So perhaps bring this back as appointment of an interim legal counsel, so that your board can then consider going out for RFP, similar to what the Air Pollution Control District did.
Thank you.
So my comment, too, is similar to that. I mean, every other agency, we've done interviews and solicited resumes, APCD, SLOCOG, everything. When I saw this on the agenda, I'm like, it was perplexing to me that we aren't at least seeing if anybody else is interested. And you may end up being the most qualified candidate. But if we're looking for transparency, especially in light of all the allegations that are going on right now, I think we need to do that and ask any other firm that deals with stuff like this if they're interested and put it out to the public.
Adam?
Thank you, Robert. Speaking still to the motion, I think, which is important, I believe that what Mr. Minery has said, and is important for us to ask Mr. Giancola, which I did, whether he felt confident in the help and advice he's gotten from Mr. Minery, is Mr. Giancola is still making changes and improvements to things moving forward, some of which we have in our agenda today, and it's obvious that he needs some help from our legal counsel who has some experience. And Mr. Minery, I think, being exceptionally cautious because of the politics of this and because, quite frankly, two speakers questioned his ethics and the ethics of his firm, which I think is outrageous, especially based on these poorly substantiated charges, he is basically being a good attorney and saying, look, I don't want to be in the middle of this, but we've heard from Mr. Giancola that he's confident in the advice he's getting from Mr. Minery. There's not an immediate thing. He said, well, you know, if we're going to get a Brown Act thing from Mr. Jenkins, which seems likely, then let's just pull this back and move on to the agenda that we have publicly today and move this until January as the motion asks.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. By way of the contract that we had with Ray Baring, Jeff Minery was mentioned as his substitute if Ray Baring could not be here, and that, I assume, is why Jeff Minery is sitting in this seat right now, and our motion is simply to move this to January, so with that, I'd ask for roll call vote, please.
Supervisor Hill?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes, and I appreciate Jeff's work so far. Thank you.
Member Arnold?
Yes.
Member Blake?
Yes.
Member Compton?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Member Enns?
Yes.
Sorry. Vice President? Mr. Gomez?
Yes.
Member Hammond?
Aye.
Member Pichon?
Yes.
And Member Bourbeau?
Yes.
Very good. Then we'll go to closed session. Jeff, you want to announce the one remaining item, please?
Sure. Board will adjourn to closed session. Performance evaluation of the manager pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1.
If I could indulge the chair for a minute.
Certainly.
We have a council member-elect from Aurora Grandy in the audience, and I think he'll probably end up on this board. And if it's okay, I'd like him to be able to sit in. I don't know what the procedure is for that, but I'd like to ask the question. We've had it done before. We had the mayor of Atascadero sit in.
Jeff?
Yeah, I apologize, but I do not believe that's appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll recess to the conference room at the back so the people attending here don't have to get up and leave. All right, thank you. We'll continue with the open session of the meeting, and we'll have Mr. Minery report the outcome of the closed session.
The report out of closed session was that the board unanimously decided to extend the contract of Mr. Giancola for the additional 3 months and authorize the executive committee to make 30-day extensions thereof as necessary.
With that, we'll go to the regular meeting. Thank you.
There's a door open, and I can hear a lot of background noise. Can somebody close that door? Thank you. I can't hear like I used to.
And with that, we'll start on the manager's report. Mike?
Thank you. I will just be really quick. I just want to tell you that bring you a little bit up to date so far that we're progressing slowly through our process with respect to managing the office. So you'll see a number of policies and procedures in this meeting and also future meetings coming forward. And those are some areas that I think are some gaps or that just need to be restated, the policies. And so we'll have further discussion on that. What you will note as part of my report is I'm putting four items on the agenda, and I will be reporting on them every time we meet. And what they are is a budget to actual expense report, and that is this piece of paper here that you see on the front page. And this goes line item by line item of all of our expenses. So every month you'll see this. And if you have any questions with that, and obviously there's a budgeted amount. You can read the headings. There's a balance remaining. Then I have July, August, September, October, November. And you'll see those expenditures going down the list from salaries all the way down to insurance. And so this will be an ongoing item, and it will be updated, and it will be there for your review and for any discussion. Then on the back of it is a list also of the credit card report. So this credit card report will list, and I have it going from July, August, September, October, November. So you'll see 4 or 5 months of this going forward. It'll be every credit card expenditure will be listed on here. It'll also be listed on the website. These credit card expenditures in the future should be things that are going to be relegated toward travel. Specifically travel that's approved in the budget for, like, maybe a conference, that kind of thing. I won't be taking those, but this would be types of things you would see. And or those vendors who need a credit card to purchase something. We have a chair, an office chair, it's broken. We have to run to Staples. That would be an example, and you would see that. You'd at that expenditure, you could ask some questions on that. So that'll be this report. Then you're going to see this next item, which is the listing of all of our contracts, agreements, and leases. And it'll be in here, you'll have the vendor, the start date, the end date. And then you'll see there those contracts that do need to be put out to bid. And they, you know, it would be my recommendation to go out to bid on your contracts. It doesn't mean the incumbent is not performing. It just means it's good public policy, in my opinion. You can always extend the agreement with an incumbent and certainly ask me questions regarding to their performance. So that's just how I typically operate. And again, then the backside of this is a fixed asset detail. It's very busy. It's not how I definitely want to see it. This is one of the things I'm going to have the forensic auditor take a look at and update.
Could I interrupt for a second?
Yes, sir.
Patty gave us the
I'm sorry, yes. You should have a highlighted version of this. I don't have the highlighted version because we had inadvertently left out Stericycle.
Yeah.
Turns out that while I used to do about 150 agenda items a week, I do not really know how to run an agenda and posting and all the things I'm kind of learning. So you should have very good people for that. And Patty hadn't done it before, so we've had a couple of slip-ups, and so I would indulge your patience and support. So anyway, you will see this report, and it is definitely going to change. But these are basically the four items. And this fixed asset would be all the things that we own as an authority and who has them and when they're retired and when they're surplus. And by the way, when we do surplus them in the future, we'll do that consistent with and mirror pretty much the county process. So we'll be moving forward in that respect because you don't want to keep stuff that you don't need. So we'll go through that. But we'll have a files that'll be associated with pictures and so on, and that'll be open and available. So that is kind of my report in a nutshell.
Okay, before we open that discussion of the board, I'd like to see if there's any public comment on the manager's report. Seeing none, I'll open it for board discussion.
I have a question, if I might.
Excuse me. Ms. Compton, better light on first.
I think it's excellent that you're putting these out there, and we're going to see them all the time, and they're going to be on the website, and just so there's no questions and everybody knows, and I think that also would discourage anything from happening in the future if all the credit card charges were shown. Someone's not going to abuse that or less likely to, so I think it's awesome. Thank
you. Ma'am. I think you just reminded me, I forgot to say also that we are going to be adding and uploading a little bit more things to the websites. One of the things that is happening. There's a group called Transparent California, and so what we're going to do is put our pictures and our titles and our salary and benefit packages up on the website also, so the public will know exactly what it is. It's public information anyway.
Tim,
I don't know if you want to handle this during the RFP question, but I'm curious about, and I talked to you about before the meeting, is how much time. Do you think, I know you've had to play a lot of catch-up, but do you have any sense about how much time this job will take once we have correct checks and balances in place and we have, you know what I'm getting at?
Yes, sir. This I will tell you this, we'll talk about functions. The authority has pretty much four major functions. It runs a household hazardous waste program. We do that through a contract. We also have a public outreach program. We run that through a contract. We do waste disposal for all the jurisdictions. The state of California is in the process of doing some, taking some comments, and they're probably going to take that over. The fourth thing is if you're able to enact ordinances to support recycling on a countywide basis. So to answer your question, we had these functions in Orange County when I was solid waste director, and I had an entry-level manager running it with a secretary. We have three people in the office, and it's important for coverage, fiscal, and administrative controls. Is it what I consider a full-time job that would keep me busy 40 hours a week? No, we get 15 to 20 phone calls in the office a day. I pretty much get about 15 to 20 business emails a day. So it's probably not what I would consider a full-time job. When I say full-time job, I don't mean you can cut it. I mean that it's the workload is not to the degree that you would typically see.
I appreciate that. I guess what I'm trying to ascertain is do we need to hire somebody at a high salary for something that's not going to be 40 hours a week just to get them and get them to be able to do the job because of their expertise and what they know, so we're going to be paying a higher rate anyway? It just seems to me, from my perspective, that this is a job that didn't take 40 hours a week, and yet some things probably occurred that shouldn't have. And so I'm trying to balance that out. Do you have any sense that we can get away with 20 hours a week? With
we have on the agenda a permanent manager search.
I appreciate the fact that you have concerns.
You can hire. I mean, ultimately, you can hire who you want to hire, and dictate the hours or the salary based on what the workload is. But I do think when you have a 3-person office reporting to a 13-person a board of elected officials, then yeah, you do need to pay for that, and it should be a full-time position because you need to have someone in there. Can they do it 20 hours and 20 hours remotely? Sure. The CEO before me tried to run the county of Orange on a cell phone, and he didn't last because of it.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
All right, John, did you have a question?
Yeah, well, just comment. I was going to say, Mike, I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen so far with your leadership and your organization of this rebuild. Essentially, is what we're doing here, rebuilding the whole department and from ground up, and putting the building blocks in place that's going to take to get transparency into this organization. And Right now, even the fact that you see the credit card list of items have gone down to almost nothing, which is especially what I would think should happen. You know, credit cards are last resort, immediate type needs. But the other thing I was going to mention was that maybe we ought to see something about the reserves as well on your layout budget. I think that's important. I think that's something we're going to need to tackle in the future. I know we're fairly high on that, and I don't know why we really have gotten that high, but the point is it's something that we probably ought to have in front of us more often, and maybe as an agenda item we can set that up to talk about.
We could add add the reserve information to the financial report.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Debbie.
It's down here. And Mike, I just had a quick question. It kind of goes along the lines of John's. There's one big number in the September payroll for Mr. Worrell, and I'm just wondering if that creates any kind of budgetary problem to us. I'm looking across here. That must have been the exit package.
Yes, ma'am. A portion of that was for an exit, and we're still diving into what the remainder is. About 100, I think it shows 182, I believe, on that.
$1,000.
Yes, 121 was a payout, but I think there's some other. It's showing posting in September, but I believe it's some payouts with respect to taxes, 401ks, 457. But we're still getting.
Isn't the end. There'll be more.
Oh no, there won't be any more. There'll be nominal post.
Nominal.
I think there's a. If you see on there, there's a post. There will be a post medical hit, but that's okay. About it.
I guess what I'm asking in all of this, I see the budget column and. The balance remaining column, and then that one must be an extraordinary kind of extraordinary expense. Are we doing okay? I mean, I just want to ask you: do you have any concerns on the financials as we move forward? Or
yes, ma'am. This authority is very well funded. Okay, so just as the basic math, you have about my understanding, a little bit over $2.2 million in reserves. So you're 100% funded with reserves. I think that's Mr. Hammond's.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
Your annual budget's about $2.2 million. You have salaries about $600 a year. You have the two contracts that are about about $1 million. So what you're doing basically is you're not spending $3 to $5 million a year, and that's going over into that's how you build up your reserves.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments from the board on the manager's report? Seeing none, we'll go to the consent calendar. Is there anyone in the public that would like to comment on the consent calendar? Seeing none, close public comment. These are just catch-ups on all the minutes of the meetings that we've had that we haven't approved the minutes of. So If you have no other comments, a motion would be in order to approve the consent calendar.
Move to approve.
I got two of those. I need one and a second. Who was the first? Tim?
Down there first.
Tim and John?
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next item is item number 8. And I'd ask if there's any, we have two speaker slips on item number 8, Wayne Hall.
Thank you. Thank you very much for what you've done so far. Thank you for going after the financial audit, the forensic audit. I think it's important to uncover what we don't know is there also. I'm not sure the RFP makes it real clear. You can't fix what you don't know is broken. So you'll owe it to your constituents to uncover everything that you can. The RFP doesn't emphasize the importance of looking back over the years to uncover obvious and not so obvious wrongdoing on the part of IWMA staff and their contractors. What's in the Knudsen report is just the tip of the iceberg. That is, it was only what we were allowed to see. Much was withheld, ergo, the purpose of a forensic audit to create leads and follow them to a conclusion. I have a question for the board, if I can respectfully ask you to answer it, and that is to know why Knudsen investigation wasn't given an opportunity to compete for the forensic audit contract. It can't be because Knudsen's experience, skills, and background, because he has spent a lifetime conducting forensic audits and successfully defending those audits in court. It can't be because his fees, because you don't know what those are. Can't be because he has already spent endless hours investigating the IWMA and its staff by poring through records and accounting ledgers, as that would serve as an advantage in allowing him to hit the ground running. It can't be because of any perceived bias, because he has years of proven impartiality. Besides, forensic auditing doesn't lend itself to the subjective, as all it is about is uncovering facts. It can't be because he has contracted in the past with citizens who have stuck their necks out to try and fix a government that's gone awry, because we all want the same thing, good government. There's nothing there to suggest Knudsen investigations is anything but completely above board, impartial, and effective at forensic auditing. So what was wrong with Knudsen investigations? Thank you.
Thank you. And Stu Jenkins.
Good afternoon. I wanted to thank your board for exploring and hiring a forensic auditor. It's past due. I do want to encourage you to make sure that the RFP is issued in such a way, and that the contract is fixed in such a way that the auditor has the freedom, when they discover things and leads, to go back as far as the beginning of this agency. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring this back to the board and open it for board discussion.
I'll go. So I appreciate the executive committee. It looks like they had to work a little bit overtime and have some special meetings. And so this is not a criticism of their work. But when I looked this last night getting ready for this meeting at Clifton Larson Allen, I don't know, I found on their website they're the 14th largest accounting firm in the United States, and they employ 5,400 people. They're not a local firm. And then when I went further to pull up their services under audit, accounting, and assurance, I see a lot of different consulting, accounting, employee benefit plan, blah, 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 blah. No word forensic. I just didn't know. It seemed like maybe that wasn't a specialty if they don't highlight it in their website. So my questions then were, who did we reach out to? I was disappointed we couldn't find someone more local. We've been kind of been through this, and the cost of having our legal counsel or anybody working with us so far away, the expense of travel, et cetera. And then the speaker brought up the Knutson is a forensic forensic auditor familiar with the case. Was he not, or he or she not consulted or offered or aware that this RFP was going out?
Let me see if I can answer them. I worked directly with the Auditor Controller's Office, Jim Irvin, Jim Hamilton. They supplied the five local firms that we sent it to. I didn't think it was probably appropriate to put it, and also Auditor Controller concurred to put it specifically to Knutson. There were three reports, and by all accounts, his reports were thorough. I'm not a forensic auditor, so I can't really comment on them. They identified a number of issues, so I wanted it as a reference document. And I know in the past, in my experience in Orange County, when people would bring up allegations, you typically did not want those same people then to take the further action to study and then come with a report to validate their initial report. Not to say that the man doesn't have integrity, and that's not what I'm saying. It's just an abundance, I think, to Mr. Minery's perspective of being overly cautious and careful and making sure that whatever we do get, that it will pass muster and it'll be objective. The five firms, unfortunately, we only got this proposal. We didn't get anybody else to respond to the five firms. And my understanding is, I'd have to look, but I thought three of them were, one or two of them were local.
Okay.
I think there was a second part to your question, too, wasn't there?
I was just surprised at the size and that they weren't local, and just wishing we could, I always wish we can find local firms.
They didn't
seem to highlight that on their website.
No, he didn't do it on the website. He did it in the proposal. And when you look at the key thing, I think, is on their proposal, there's this timeline where they talk about. Mm-hmm. So the next step for us is we've got to get in, if your board so chooses to award, we have to get in a room with them and scope the contract. And so we'll be focusing on these areas. Now, they're the areas that we need to look at. They're general. And there are going to be some specific tasks associated with them.
Okay. So, and as far as familiarity with what we're asking them to do, you just feel like you can carry the ball and make sure that all the questions you have are investigated and answered and that kind of thing?
Certainly, I hope so. And I think to some of the speaker's points, wherever those allegations take, we would chase them out.
Okay.
You know, I don't think it's, you know, we're not looking to do the last year or two. The forensic audit needs to be a very complete document. And how I see that document coming forward, when that document is done, I think we'll post it on the website, and I'll make it also part of my report. So there'll be typically, and I've done this before. So typically what you do is you go into departments and you do these forensic performance auditing, and then they come up with findings and recommendations. And then you have a status line next to them. And then you hold the manager, accountable to making sure when I bring it forward, there will be all these findings. Let's say there's 15, 20 of them. There's going to be a status of those, and some will complete. And then you're going to say, okay, when are you going to get to this one? When are you going to get to that one? And that report stays on this agenda until all of them are done. That's how it would work. And that gives the public assurance and you as elected officials to make sure that, you know, it's that the work that we spent the money on to do the forensic audit and what they found was corrected.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Did you have a question then? John?
Yeah, Robert. Question as far as the people that we went out to bid for here, was it more than one? I mean, obviously we had several, but only one came back. Is that correct, Mike?
There were five firms we sent it out to. And I hate to just wing it here, but I thought two of them were local, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But the one that responded was not local. They have nationwide offices. This one's going to come out of the Los Angeles office.
So, and I'm assuming their bid is a not to exceed bid, 75.
That's correct.
Right. And then it shows, it looks like in their time schedule, that they're going to just miss our next meeting. Really be nice if we could get it done before that, where we could get it agendized, at least get it onto that January 9 meeting. But they're supposed to be finished by, I guess, the 16th of January. So it'd be nice if we could have a little discussion if we do move forward with them to try and...
When I talk with them, when I meet with them, if you choose this firm to move forward, you know, it was definitely an item I was going to see if we could...
Very good.
Yeah, if at a minimum, they would be able to present to the board and preliminary findings, so we can make them do that.
Great. Thank you.
Adam?
Thank you, Robert. I don't have any issues. I think, you know, again, Mr. Giannacola has been tasked to correct things. I have confidence that, you know, he's went out with an RFP, and it seems to me, and his own comments actually speak to that, which is, let's not engage in any of the outside politics that may be involved in this. Let's just get this thing done in a straight and conflict-free manner. This seems to be the way to go about it, so I would move approval.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I do have a quick question just to follow up. So as Mr. Hammond pointed out, this is a do not exceed. So that's already part of it, or do we need to make that very clear when we present this to them? Because we had talked about this at the executive committee.
Right. Right. So there's two ways that happens. One is when you tell me that that's clear and that that's the motion, it becomes it. Second, it'll be part of the contract.
Okay. So let's make sure and make that clear in the motion.
I'll add that at your request, Mr. Gomez. Thank you.
Perfect.
Second hold.
Very good. Then any other discussion from the board? Jen, roll call vote, please.
Member Arnold?
Yes.
Sorry. Supervisor Hill?
Yes.
And Member Brown?
Yes.
Member Blake?
Yes.
Member Compton?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Vice President Enns?
Yes.
Member Gomez?
Yes.
Member Hammond?
Aye.
Member Pichon?
Yes.
And Member Borbo?
Yes.
Very good. Next item, number 9, audit for the 2017-18 year. Is there any public comment on this? I don't have any slips. If not, we'll bring this directly to the board and ask Mike to introduce it.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. So, you know, I know there were some questions with respect to this annual auditor that would happen every year. And I just want to differentiate what they do and then kind of what they don't do, which I think is important. So this contract was suspended, and so I'm bringing it back and I'm basically asking if your board's discussion consideration to move forward with the company of Glenn Burdett. And this will be the final year of that contract. In the future, it will be bid out, and it'll be bid out every 3 years. And my recommendation to the first person who comes after me will to put more testing in the next annual audits. And I don't want to say it'll be a forensic audit, but it'll be more robust testing. So it'll get your board a little bit more comfort with respect to what's going on. So at every turn, everything that I'll be doing will all have a testing mechanism or some form of, my words, an audit function associated with it. So we already have an engagement letter. We've sent them. They had given us a checklist. We gave them everything. And this is required by law to do. And I believe it also has to be part of the county's CAFR, the County Audited Financial Report. But remember, these guys, what they do is they make a statement of, are the finances fairly represented? That's different than a forensic audit. That's different than diving deep down. So I know in the county, we used to do the CAFR with the Audit Controller's Office, but it's a much different situation. So I just want to share that with you so you know kind of what the differentiation is. And so my recommendation here is to move forward with finishing this up, getting it done, and then in the future we'll RFP it.
Board comments? Seeing none, the staff recommendation is to sign the agreement with Glenn Burdett, but also a second recommendation is to implement a policy of to select a new firm every 3 years. So we would like a motion to that effect.
I'll move approval of staff's recommendation.
Charles, thank you. And John Pichon seconds. Hammonds, I'm sorry. You too. any other discussion? If not, Jen, the roll call vote, please.
Member Borbo?
Yes.
Member Hammond?
Aye.
Member Arnold?
Yes.
Member Blake?
Yes.
Member Brown?
No.
Member Compton?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Vice President Enns?
Yes.
Member Gomez?
Yes.
Member Hill?
Yes.
Member Pichon?
Yes.
Thank you. Next item, number 10. Mike, you want to talk about this?
Yes. So obviously, you've extended my agreement for 3 months, and we're going to need a permanent person to take my job. And so what we're looking for is a recommendation here to direct staff for us to obtain bids to do a search. And typically, these things cost about 15 to 20% of the annual salary. So it's not in the budget. So I need to make sure that we go through this process. And if you want to talk about the salary range, change the salary range, or determine it, that would be also part of the recommendation. And then authorize President Lee to sign the contract with a search firm. And then ultimately, if you so choose, you could have a staff along with the executive team, a committee, recommend three candidates for your approval, if that's the way you wish to go. And included in your packet is something that I kind of took a stab at drawing up, which I believe would be the desired minimum qualifications. So it's in your agenda. It looks like this.
So, yeah,
you know what page it is?
Number 8.
No, it's item 10.
Number 80.
It's on the back side. Does everyone have this?
Starts on 79.
Thank you.
The little number in the lower right corner. Sheila.
And typically, going forward, so when you do ultimately select a permanent position, these qualifications, along with whatever policies, this would be something that you would want to use when you do your evaluations in the future.
I have a question for you. It says direct staff to obtain bids. Who's the staff?
Me.
Are you the only person that's going to be sending out these RFPs or bids?
No, I work with, I don't know if you met Patty and then Amanda. They're both here. The three of us work together. And we're really doing things together and copying each other so that all three of us know what's going on, and it's an administrative protocol.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I have a question.
Charles?
Mike, I think in some conversation I had with you, you talked about, of course, you utilizing the county for some services using the auditor controller. You'd mentioned using county HR for some services. Mm-hmm. Potentially, in this particular case, for the executive director, you're recommending an outside recruitment firm. Did you consider using county HR?
I don't have an agreement. What the authority has is an agreement with the auditor controller's office. You'll see in the January, the upcoming agenda, that we'll be bringing forward, hopefully, some agreements for your board's consideration in the area to get services from the county with respect to HR, IT, and purchasing. But in the meantime, when county HR does a recruitment, it takes 4 to 6 months. So in this case, the authority has used, I think it's United Staff, a couple other firms for this work in the past, and so we're looking to go down that direction in this recruitment.
Right. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, Mike, I know these things can take some time, and that's what I'm concerned about, again, the infrequency that we meet. And, you know, clearly your direction is good. If we can get things moving, I think, at this point, to get something back by the January meeting for discussion and action, that's really what I'm hoping. I mean, even after that point, it's going to take, you know, a couple months at least, minimum, and that's getting to the point where you want to get back to your retirement. So is there something that in the scope of the, you know, to the search firm that we're kind of time is of the essence? Is that kind of what we're thinking here?
That's correct.
Yeah.
We would move this as quickly as we could.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other comments from the board? Someone care to make a motion? Staff recommendations listed here, items 1, 2, and 3. John, thank you.
Second. John and John.
John and John. Charles?
Well, I'm confused. Maybe we also have to do these other items, or is your motion just to do number one?
Direct staff to obtain bids.
Yeah, this is on bids for the recruiting
whole recommendation
firm.
Is all four items, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Right.
Okay, but we didn't discuss salary range.
That's to come back for us, I think, in January.
Okay. Yeah. Just make sure I understand.
So how we'd move forward would be the if we have to advertise it, I would advertise it with the existing salary that is in place now.
Okay.
If there was any variation from that, of course, your board would.
Have to come back.
Yes, sir.
Is that satisfactory to the board then? Very good. Then if we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Jen, roll call vote, please.
Right. Member Pichon?
Yes.
Member Hammond?
Aye.
Member Arnold?
Yes.
Member Blake?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member Compton?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Vice President Enns?
Yes.
Member Gomez?
Yes.
Supervisor Hill?
Yes.
And Member Borbo?
Yes.
All right. With that, we'll go to item number 11, approve the attached policies and procedures. And I believe we have one speaker slip for Mr. Jenkins.
To your attention a couple of things, and I've been very impressed with Mr. Giancola. And the nice thing about somebody with high integrity is they don't need very many policies. They don't need things spelled out. But I just took a look at what caught my eye was the credit card policy. And I think this also applies to the warrant policy a little bit. One of the things we heard was that Mr. Giancola is putting up on the website the credit card expenditures, and I think I heard the backup for that was going up on the web. That's not in the credit card policy. So when you get a replacement individual managing this, that's not going to be there. Little things like who is going to submit to the county auditor isn't in this policy. Little things like, this is paragraph 3, all credit card expenditures will be provided to the board, but not necessarily under this policy, the backup information. That's not spelled out in that sentence. Now, it only takes one of you at every meeting to take the time to go through these things and raise questions. I know this is a big job, and you all have other big jobs. Since we've been here meeting, Calico's Times has put up a new article about credit card expenditures of the IWMA under the prior manager. Huge expenditures, and I know you all know that it's almost gone down to zero. With that kind of situation, you might consider not having any credit card policy for a while, not having a credit card authorized for a while. This is a government agency. It can work through warrants. tremendous amounts for travel, $1,300 a month for private phone bills went through the credit cards. Electric bills, when you have a $10 electric bill because the office has solar. You don't want to have that repeated, and I know you're going to be careful picking your next manager, but you don't want to have them tempted. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll close public comment then. And what's the board's pleasure? We have several items here. Would we like to take them one at a time, or do you want to just ask questions on of your specific interests?
I would like Mr. Giancola to explain any, you know, any major features of the policies, especially any major changes to existing policy.
Okay, the first one is up on the board, and it's just basically clearly lays out what my authority is, what the board president's authority is, and what the board, what your board's policy. And this authority under contracts and expended funds, this actually is a document that I found, and I didn't make any changes to it, if I remember. It is a document that was back to 1995. And you'll see in a number of these policies that they were here, some of them were in effect, weren't necessarily always adhered to. So there could be some scope creep and those kind of things. So I just thought it was important to reiterate it and state it for the record. And this will definitely be also posted. So that's F1. Any questions on that? It's pretty clear cut to me. So the grant applications also was there. The one addition, let me go back, was on the recommendation. The one addition that I actually added to the grant was that if we purchased equipment through a grant in the future, that we then would take that piece of equipment and list it in the fixed asset detail that I had talked about earlier. And so then if there was ever a disposition or a use of that piece of equipment, then it would be clear as to what it was for, who was using it, whether it was a hauler, whether it was a city, whether it was a special district in the future. So that was the purpose of this one. So three, the warrant policy. This is another one that was in effect. To Mr. Jenkins' statement, he's correct. I do not like using a credit card, personally. I would, but it's going to come down to I'll use my American Express and get reimbursed, or I'd have a Cal card. The Cal card, there are some strict rules that you're supposed to adhere to, one of which is, to the degree possible, get a warrant. And that's what we're going to do in the future. Also, two signatures on every warrant. So in the case of, we have staff that gets reimbursed on a monthly basis for their travel and some of their costs. So in the future, in this case, it's mostly Patty. Patty will sign it, or she will not sign it. I'll sign it, and then the president will sign it. So then that way, that's a fiscal control that we've implemented. That's the warrant policy. So, and also, I don't have any issue with putting this stuff up on the web and loading it. I think it just adds more transparency. Reimbursement policy, that's just two staff signatures. I thought it was important in any amount that exceeds $100. Surplus equipment, we don't have a surplus property process, so we have a number of items. We don't have a lot of items, but we don't have a policy, so I thought it was necessary to institute one. And it will pretty much mirror the county's process. What you typically do is take pictures, you send it out to usually nonprofits or other public sector entities, and then it goes out to the public for bidding. We don't anticipate having a lot of those. With respect to the waiver of fees, okay, this one is new, and the reason this one's here is because your previous manager had waived fees, but there is no authority to waive fees. I do not have the ability or authority to do so unless granted by your board. So I thought it was necessary to put a policy in place. And in the area that he waived fees were with respect to Sharp's disposal for mom and pop. And he defined mom and pop, I think, from more small business. And while that might be admirable, I believe that's something that should be coming to the board, or you delegate that authority for a certain amount to the manager. And then the other one was he split the cost with Goodwill Industries for disposal. Again, you know, not to suggest that those weren't admirable attempts. It's just we need authority to do that. So in this policy, basically what I'm saying is someone comes to our office and says they want their fees waived, then we'll agendize it and bring it to this board. Because, frankly, part of it is this is your board, and you guys should get the credit for that, not staff, because and you should have discussion about that and what it means. So, and then records retention. So there's an obvious need for this one. There really wasn't one, and there were missing files, many, many missing files. We've basically, to Mr. Hammond's comment earlier, we're rebuilding the whole office. The files weren't even alphabetical, so it was very difficult to find anything. And that's what I've been doing for 5.5 weeks, is really kind of rolling up the sleeves, not wearing a suit, which was kind of nice. So the key thing on this one that you would want to give some consideration to is the retention length. So in these categories, I think that's where you'd want to zero in. Indefinitely for rules, regulations, permits, those things, manuals. These others put a 5-year period. Some public sector entities do 2 years. Some do indefinitely. So there's not really a consensus or nothing in law that I know of that requires you to keep it. This is a small office, so it wouldn't bother me to keep this stuff indefinitely or the 5 years, because from an efficiency standpoint. So that's, again, these are my recommendations, but that would be where you'd want to. Yes, sir.
Vice President Ans, members of the board, on this item, what I would suggest is that your board adopts this policy with the caveat or as otherwise required by law, so that to the extent these retention policies are change or are different, we have the flexibility to monitor that.
Thank you, Jeff.
And let's see. And those are pretty much the eight. And again, we have in next in January, we'll have several more. Not eight, I hope. Only a few more. But there just needs to have some PNPs that are both established and adhered to.
Debbie, did you have questions?
I did. On policy number 4, that's the credit card policy. It talks about under the policy details, the issued credit card will be adhered to the same restrictions established by the San Luis Obispo County Auditor Controller, which I'm not sure I know those restrictions. But is that a restriction on the amount, on the capping the amount?
No, ma'am. No, there's just when you have a CalCard, there are rules governing the CalCard. They're specific and they're laid out,
okay.
And we did find that, and the previous manager did sign for those, and it is you're supposed to limit. Basically, you use that credit card only in the you don't have a contract,
last
you don't have a warrant,
sure.
You don't have a purchase order,
mm-hmm.
And a vendor won't invoice later on it.
Okay.
So that's why you're seeing even the 5-month report that I put up earlier, why it's going to go down. It should only be really in these areas of, again, if we travel, if we do something like buy a chair, very minimal.
Okay.
So, and that would be then consistent with how the auditor controller.
Okay. So we feel like that sentence
yes.
covers that.
When I was in the county and I ran the waste department, I had a credit card and I took it away because I thought the auditor controller's restrictions were too onerous.
Yeah.
So
and my other question.
Would not be surprised if they're that way here also.
Okay. You just showed us F7, waive of the fees, waiving the fees, and to be able to agendize it and bring to the board, although you're your slide talked about either the executive committee or the full board, and I agree with you that I think it should be agendized, brought to the full board. So when it comes time to make a motion, I would hope that portion would boil down to agendizing it to the full board, not the executive board.
Yes, ma'am.
Those are my only two questions.
Okay, thank you. Charles?
Yes, I had two questions. And on credit card policy, I mean, I've been in government and finance a lot, and using a credit card a lot is not a problem. It's keeping track and publicizing what you're doing. And so I think really that's where you're headed in the right direction. You're publishing what it's been used for, and it's open, and it's out there for everybody to see, because sometimes using a credit card can be a lot more efficient and, you know, faster than going through a lengthy purchasing process. My question is on the records retention recommendations. In there, you mentioned these different retention periods. Given the forensic audit that's going to occur, I assume that we're not destroying any records at this point in time, regardless of age. In other words, if something is 6 years old and could be destroyed under this policy, we're not going to destroy anything until the completion of that forensic audit, correct?
That's correct. There's been no deletion of emails with respect to the previous managers. There has been no deletion nor closing of past accounts. And Mr. Minery reminded me that probably before I leave that he'll have an attestation for me to sign that say I did not do those things, which is appropriate.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Lynn?
I have a couple questions. Is there a policy on what authority the manager has to grant raises and stuff to people that work underneath them? Because I think we saw outrageous salaries that we never knew before the board. So, I mean, should there be a policy on that?
Right. So to that effect, one of the things when I contract with HR, and if your board approves it, and what we'll do is we'll initiate a job specification of what those duties are, and then we'll institute evaluations. Now, for your question going backward, my understanding is those raises, there was no written documentation to support those raises.
So do we have, like, job classification salary ranges so that they just don't have a free will to?
No, ma'am.
Should we?
Yes, absolutely.
So you're going to do that?
Yes.
Okay, then
sure
the next question is, so these all look like really good mechanisms to prevent fraud or, malfeasance in the future. However, it's good to have policies, but if somebody doesn't want to follow them, they don't want to follow them. So what do you recommend? Do you recommend then just, I mean, the accountant can't do this. Do you recommend once a year having someone come in and look to see that these procedures are being followed? Or, I mean, we can't do that. Half of the stuff isn't accessible to us. So what is the mechanism that we have as a board to make sure something bad doesn't happen again and that these procedures are being followed?
That's a really good question. And I think how we could do that is we could scope it into an annual report that I talked about earlier. That you could do testing, and then you could also have them review your existing policies or procedures and do a test on them. And what I mean by test is, they go in and they just pull stuff to see if you're adhering to them.
Okay.
So we could do that as part of the annual report.
Not only is it a self-assessment, we would randomly go in and just sort of audit. And when you say we, who do you mean does that?
It would be like, in the future, when we do an RFP for an annual audit, they'll look at the financial statements and they'll test. And then this would be part of that scope, part of the RFP. And then it'll be a company, I don't know, Acme Financial Auditing, in the future.
Should that then be a new procedure that...
Sure.
That
we could, if you want to add that in, we could certainly...
Okay, I'd be interested in adding that.
If you direct us to do so, we'll do that.
Thank you.
Any other comments, John?
Yeah, but Robert, I was just going to say the same thing basically Lynn just said with regard to, you know, the annual budget review or forensic. I think that's what we need to do in the future is have a deeper review. And in that, any expenditure, including credit cards, would be justified to a certain budget line item and report out if it didn't fit. Somebody needs to be able to flag it, I mean, other than your group. And that's what I'm hoping that we tend to include that in our audits in the future. I think that was probably part of our problem. It was kind of up here where it should have been more deeper.
Right. And that's precisely why I put the budget to actual report now on your agendas, because what you were getting before would be not much different that you guys have seen with your county budgets, which they're high level. they're broken in a general category, but they don't go in, like 0600 is an example, and go into what is, what's 06A, what are 06B, so, and what's everything loaded in it. You see 0600. So that's why I did exactly to the point that you're making. But I just want to reiterate, if we're successful and bring these things to the board with agreements, part of each agreement with these county services, I'm going to ask that an audit function be part of that. So there'll be an initial assessment and an audit function. So I think we'll be covered.
Debbie, did you have another question?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, wake me up down here. So it's my understanding the only thing I've heard that would be a change is the council's recommendation to add to the records retention policy the words "or as otherwise required by law," and I've really heard no other changes on the policy. Okay. Can you make a motion to that effect?
Sure. I'll make a motion that as part of the annual review, the new manager goes through each one of these policies and states where he falls in the spectrum, if he accomplished it or not, and then we do a audit yearly on a few of the items to see that he's falling within the range and being truthful. Is that good enough? It's a long, wordy motion, but...
We just need to include that comment from council.
So you make another policy directive on that.
Yeah, but he's also asking that you include the language by the attorney regarding record retention.
Yeah.
Or stated by law.
Yeah, okay. By law.
And if that's satisfactory, then we...
I would second that if that's what I'm looking for.
Very good. Thank you, Tim.
Is that good enough, Jeff?
Yeah. I understand the board direction and coordinate with the manager to ensure that's included. And I believe Ms. Arnold has...
Just that F7, the policy 7, where it included both the forwarded to the executive committee or the board for approval, and I was hoping we would just skip the executive committee on that one and agendize it for the board if there's fee waivers.
On the policy, it's just the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that satisfactory, or would you like to?
No, if it's on here, I just skipped right over, and I was reading that right off the screen, so.
Okay.
I'm good.
Very good. Then we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Jen, roll call vote, please.
All right. Member Compton?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member Arnold?
Yes.
Member Blake?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Member Enns?
Yes.
Member Gomez?
Yes.
Member Hammond?
Aye.
Member Hill has left. Member Pichon has also left. Member Bourbeau?
Yes.
All right, that takes us to item number 12, approve battery recycling request for quotes.
Mr. Chair, there's an item 11 on the schedule.
11 was the policies and procedures.
Why is this?
That's the one we just did.
No, this is the meeting schedule for 2019.
It looks like maybe just a misprint on this page where it says item number 11 for the schedule.
For the meeting schedule, huh?
Yeah, but we did. It was also said item number 11 for the policies.
Oh.
And then item number 12,
yeah,
battery.
Okay.
So I think this needs to be 13. Yeah.
My item 11 says policies and procedures.
Yeah. It's another one on the hard copy. It'll
item
say
11
again
too.
One more time.
So are there two item 11s? You can tell.
No,
there's
I think
11.
I think it's a misprint. It should say
yeah,
13 based on where it's located in the agenda. I think it should say.
Oh, okay. Very good. So we can go to item 12 for now.
I apologize.
We'll take up 11B later. Item number 12, then, approve battery recycling request for quotes. Mike?
Yes, just real quickly, we since 2014 to the present, the Battery Recycling Corporation paid the cost for all the non-rechargeable batteries. That's coming to an end at the end of this year. And so we did three quotes, we're recommending this call to recycle as the firm to continue. And I think a not to exceed amount of about 50 grand, or if I believe so.
Okay, board questions or comments?
Ms. Mike, on the recommendation you show on the little chart, you know, the different prices, I guess, that they quoted you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they vary a fair amount. I'm just wondering how it is you then chose call to recycle over the other, particularly over battery solutions.
It's my understanding that the battery solutions piece has some hidden costs in their quote that we weren't as comfortable with. So we didn't really want to take a risk with them being higher later. So they qualified. And then if there's any contamination, then they'll charge a pretty high fee compared to the others.
And how long of a term is this contract for?
I believe, you know, where's that?
It's to be decided. So it would go on a yearly basis or depending on what legal counsel advises. Whatever the board would like to move forward with.
So what I'd be comfortable with is a one-year contract now and then see how it plays out.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I was concerned that if it was going to be a five-year contract or something like that, I would have some concern. Okay. Thank you.
Any other board comments? Charles, would you like to make a motion?
Sure. I'll move we adopt staff's recommendation for this item.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? Jen, roll call vote, please.
Member Bordeaux?
Borbo? Yes.
Sorry. Member Gomez?
Yes.
Member Arnold?
Yes.
Member Blake?
Yes.
Member Compton?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Vice President Enns?
Yes.
Member Hammond? Sorry.
Oh, Member I'm Hammond. Sorry, Hammond. I thought you said Enns.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jen. Okay, that takes us to item number 11 or 13 or some no.
Pick a number.
Item number 13, meeting schedule for 2019 listed here. If there are any questions or changes that need to be made, comments from the board? If not, a motion would be in order for approval.
I will make a motion to adopt the recommendation.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? Jen, roll call vote, please.
Member Gomez?
Yes.
Member Arnold?
Yes.
Member Blake?
Yes.
Member Compton?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Vice President Enns?
Yes.
Member Hammond?
Aye.
Member Borbo?
Yes.
Okay, with that, we'll go to future agenda items. Number 14, board member comments.
I'll just comment. Thank you, Mike, for all this work. This is a lot. So thank you very much.
Well, Robert, I'll just say, too, same way, I'm kind of glad we have Mike on board to get this thing started up again. And like I said, it's going to be a good foundation moving forward, whoever comes behind him. I think it's a good way to get this thing back on track. So. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, John. I think the executive committee has had an opportunity to meet with Mike on a more detailed basis, and I'd reflect those same comments.
May I just make a comment, too? I always felt like when we sat through these meetings, we never were given information. It was always just glossing over the top, and it's really refreshing to see details and things like that. It gives us a better understanding, and then we know what questions to ask. But it was, I don't know if it was intentionally hidden, but we never got any detail on anything. It was just sign this, forward this through, and even if you asked, you didn't get the details. So thank you very much.
Mr. Vice President.
Red?
Yes. I'd like to request a future agenda item. The Joint Powers Agreement
says that the executive committee is shall have bylaws that would be adopted by the board by resolution. It's my understanding that we do not have bylaws for the executive committee. And I think Mr. Minery said that we've been operating by past practices, which is fine, but I would like to see those codified in some way.
Mike, can you speak to that?
Yes, I'll do that. Just so your board knows, there was an agenda item back in, I believe, 1995, where there was a discussion about bylaws, but I don't know that they were ever formally adopted, nor could I ever find them. So we have no issue with in working with council and developing bylaws and bringing it back to the board.
Very good. Thank you.
One of the bylaws should
be bylaws. Any other comments?
No.
If there are none, our meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.